I come from about 20 miles away over the hill from Gustafson Lake, and there was some kind of talk there about Gustafson Lake being militant, that we were just crazy Indians with guns shooting at cops. And that's not what happened at all, but the spin that the state puts on it. Those were my people inside of that camp. They stood there in the face of certain death. They stood there, it wasn't certain, it was absolute that day. Because they knew that the position that they were taking was of a very powerful position that was going to force the Canadian state to give an ultimate no to our people. They're going to say, no, you Indians can't have your land back. And that's currently what's going on right now, is there's this fallacy going on that this is a just country. That somehow there's going to be a reconciliation process that's going to magically unfold. And we're going to get our land back. I used to get up every day. I used to go to work. I used to go cut down trees. I used to kill trees for a living, where we take out 40 loads a day, 20 loads a day. And when I'd go back to work the next day, half of the forest was gone in the blocks that we were cutting. And that used to be my mindset. And I can remember being on the west coast of this continent in 1990, I believe it was in August. And I can remember being in a logging camp and picking up the Vancouver Province newspaper and looking at the front page, and it was talking about Oka. It was talking about Ganawagi. And I was so far detached from the truth that I had no interest in reading those stories. But I was also at home one day, and we got some kind of support to go down to a chief's meeting in a place called Merritt, British Columbia. And at this meeting, there was approximately, they call them leaders. There were 75 leaders at this meeting that day. And when I went in there and I sat and I listened to them talk, there were some strong brothers there that really had some strong words. And they talked about the history of our people and about the history of the resistance that our people have been involved in. So I got up and I said that I'm from Williams Lake. I'm from the community just over the hill where this incident at Gustafson Lake is taking place. And I said that in our community, there is no one that understands what's going on there, let alone I don't even expect the people in this room to understand, because if we as the people who are closest to it don't understand what's going on, then how can everyone in this room understand that? I said there have been no meetings held in our communities. The people, our so-called leaders, have been very quiet on this issue. So about noon that day, we went into the kitchen, and there was about nine of us that drafted up a press release stating that they support the people inside the camp at Gustafson Lake. And we all broke for lunch, and after lunch we came back and we held a press conference. And my understanding of that was a surprise move that the state didn't expect from this group of individual people, these leaders, so-called leaders. And later on, about 3:30 that day, we got someone come into the room, and they said, Scotty Holmes, I have an urgent message for you from Nathan Matthews in 100 Mile House. And he left, and he came back about 20 minutes later, and he looked all shook up, and he said, I'm getting reports of gunfire and explosion coming from within the camp. And there were some people that stood up right away, and they took off, and they said, we got to go. And the situation was so serious that day that those people were willing to go in there and attack the RCMP if our people were killed. And that's the reality of colonialism in Canada today. And that's the reality post-Oka. that they still haven't learned. They were willing to justify the use of deadly force to go in there and kill those people and create a mass slaughter, a genocide against our people. When the court process came around, they went in and testified that on that day, on September 11th, the Army and the RCMP, through the emergency response team, willfully discharged after they blew up a truck with a landmine. And isn't Canada supposed to be against landmines? They went in after they blew up that truck and ran it over with one of their APCs. They willfully decided to discharge, and this is by their own admissions in court, to discharge in excess of 77,000 rounds at 18 people on a piece of land about 4 acres square. In 2000, the tribal council, the elected people, were still trying to continue that charade and that fallacy and promoting it that they were actively fighting for our title and rights. And for probably about 3 or 4 years there, they were actively jumping up and saying that they opposed Sun Peaks to no end. And after a couple years of spewing that rhetoric, their talk went nowhere and they didn't have anything to walk to. But dealing with 2001 yet, there was a lot of movement on the mountain where these people were still opposing, like with fist fights and having court injunctions slapped on them. And after that year, the resistance kind of died down on a mountain. And when I got home, I was over here in Montreal last year and Ottawa and New Brunswick, and then I was down in the United States. When I came home, Janice, our spokesperson for the Skokwako Protection Center, Janice Billy, said that we're going to have a rally up on the mountain on August 29th. And what she didn't tell me was that there was going to be an occupation to follow. And we're sitting right on that threshold right now where we only have a little bit more to go in proving that their justice system is anything but just. But there's only one aspect of the constitutional legal question right now in this country that I deal with, and that's paragraph 144 of December 11th, 1997, that states that when an Aboriginal nation in question is challenging the state of Canada as to the jurisdiction in their homes under section 35.1, that we only have to meet one prerequisite, and that is that we existed on and of the land prior to 1846. That's a magical date that they've drawn. When the Crown asserted their sovereignty into our territories, that when they usurped our jurisdiction as Indigenous nations. And to me, that's the only thing that needs to be really addressed, and it's so simple and it's so black and white in the way I look at things.